Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deborah Wolf. That's right, Deborah Wolf. I'm going so formal on you today. That's so you can find my website, DeborahWolfOnline.com. It's very easy, just like my name. It's very easy. And today, we have a whole bunch of guests for you. We're going to give you a nice and easy Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio Show. At the very end, we're going to ask you to think a little bit when we talk about Merlin's kids. But it's a good feeling segment. That's going to make you feel really good. So you want to stay tuned for that. And we've got a lot of interesting products and interesting people to talk to, light and easy. And right away, we're going to Tennessee for our first guest. And we're talking to Noah about HavePaws.com. So, Noah, what is HavePaws.com?
HavePaws is a new jerky treat on the market right now. We call them jerky chips.
Okay. Now, there's been a lot of worry over jerky, right? We don't want to get it from China. We're worried about all kinds of additives and cancer-causing ingredients. And also, just 20 years ago, we were worried about jerky treats and salmonella. So there's all kinds of issues with jerky if it's not done properly, if it's not sourced properly. What can you reassure us about your treats?
Well, all of our stuff is 100% USA sourced and made, just because of the China issues and, you know, the salmonella and the recalls and just the general untrustworthiness of some of the bigger players. We also have our products lab analyzed too to verify that they are indeed safe and the nutritional content. But the 100 USA source of made is like what we stick to, you know, every day. We, you know, that's our mantra.
Because there are a lot of pets, I got to say, who will do anything for a jerky treat, but aren't that attentive for anything else. And people who've used that style of training, the treat training, which I actually don't personally use, but it's quick results, it's easy for the whole family, and it works in all kinds of competitions really well. Those people are really missing the jerky, aren't they? Now that they can't just buy it in the store and think, see, that's the thing about Canada. I don't know about America. In Canada, you go to the store, you see your jerky treat on the store shelf, and it says made in Canada, just like garlic says made in Canada and oranges say made in Canada. And that's when you get this light bulb over your head. What do you mean? We can't grow oranges in Canada. Okay, we can grow garlic, yeah, but not oranges. It's packaged in Canada. It's not really made here. So the thing is, there's a lot of pets going without their jerky. How can they get your jerky?
Well, you can order it on our website, and you can also just call me directly. And I'm glad to take any calls and ship some your way.
So it's HavePaws.com, HavePaws.com, HavePaws.com. And if your dog is missing the jerky, and he probably is, if he was raised puppy trained on it, and now you're just so worried that you might be giving him cancer, buying stuff that's secretly from China, of course you don't want to do that. So you've gone cold turkey. He's missing his jerky. Noah could help you, yeah. HavePaws.com. Right, Noah?
Oh, yeah.
What kinds of jerky have you got?
Right now we have one called Cheeky Chicken, and then our other one's called Talkin' Turkey, and we have one called Bossy Beef on the way soon. That's going to be 100% ground beef.
Wow. Beef prices have gone way up. Is your beef more expensive than the others, or is it the same?
Yeah, it's going to be a little more expensive because we're not going to use, you know, the liver and stuff like that that people call beef, but it's not actually beef. Meat is all the stuff we're actually using 100%. Food grade, you know, what you'd get at a restaurant kind of thing.
Do you eat the jerky? Do you eat it yourself, Noah? Do you munch on the jerky?
Pardon me? You do? Helps me to stop eating it because I'm wasting all the product when I do.
Oh, no. See, I once almost lost it. I was emceeing a big event for all these veterinarians, and the Hill Science Diet representative was there giving a talk, and this is the first time I'd ever seen it. He started eating the dog food to demonstrate his point that it was human grade, and he's crunching on it, and I just felt like teleported into some bizarre comedy sketch. I could hardly not giggle. The whole thing was just too strange to watch. And then he had to drink water, and then he started coughing. I had to leave the room. I lost my composure completely. It's something to watch a grown human eat dog food or dog treats. But I guess if the ingredients are the same, I guess that's what you're telling us, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it should be, is in the future you're not weirded out by people eating pet food, because it should be good enough for us to eat too.
Well, see, okay, now that I understand. You know, I have a litter of puppies. They were born May 22nd, so they're a month old now, and they just started eating solid food, and it's a mix of oatmeal, which I eat, right, oatmeal cereal, and canned cat food, canned dog food all mixed in with water to make it soupy. So that's their first food. Pretty soon they're going to start getting their little teeth, and I'll be giving them vegetables, frozen vegetables to chew on in the backyard.
Yeah,
People think that's crazy. It's not crazy. It makes total sense to me. I mean, they are animals. It makes sense we should eat the same things, doesn't it? To some extent.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're animals too. So we all got to, you know, feed our fellow friends the same way we feed ourselves.
It's, you know, there's a few things like dogs can never have grapes or raisins, and onions are kind of bad. Garlic's kind of bad. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but mostly they can eat like us. Eggs, cottage cheese. I mean, just go to your dog food bag, turn it over, read the ingredients, and those are the things your dog wants to eat and needs to eat, and you don't have to feel guilty giving him those things. And now, thanks to HavePaws.com, you don't have to feel worried or guilty giving him his jerky fix. So thank you so much, Noah. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, I hope you get a lot of sales out of this, and I hope those dogs get their jerky fix. Okay, everyone, I'm just going to give you a little bit of news, and then we're going to go to break. There's been a lot of emails to me about China, because right now there's a big festival where they eat dog, and there's a lot of people saying it's ancient Chinese rituals and history and tradition, but the festival only goes back to 2009. I just want to say that. And there was a whole dynasty from 581 to 907, long period of time, that really, really rejected the eating of dog. So this is a tourist thing. I'm not sure why they're doing it now. I'm not sure why it's so popular. But the dogs are tortured for public spectacle. They're tortured alive. And other horrible things I don't want to tell you about on Smart Animal Talk, Golf Buzz, Pet Talk Radio. But if you want to read about the story, do look it up. It's happening right now to celebrate summer solstice. And there's a whole lot of Chinese people against it. A whole lot of people who have a newfound bond with animals. And they feel they deserve compassion and are friends, not food. So check it out if you want to learn about what's going on for dogs worldwide. It's important. And see what you can do to help. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a minute. And we'll be talking about Piper. You might think that's a dog or a bird or even a convict on a famous show. But no, we'll be talking to a different kind of Piper in a minute.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. No more fleas and no more ticks with the No More Tick Spray. All natural, non-toxic, and even safe enough for you to use on yourself. It smells great. You have to try it. It really works. This is what I want you to do. Go to www.nomoreticks.com. Once again, nomoreticks.com. Your pet will love you for it. Go to nomoreticks.com. Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. All-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's P-U-R, spraypet.com. purrspraypet.com, purrspraypet.com, or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And before I get to our next guest, I just want to say there is some happy news in China. There are 30 million people in China who want animal rights and believe in animal welfare. And there's move to start regulating it. There's no legislation protecting animals in China whatsoever. So that's going to come soon. And so that's good news, too. And part of the thing that's going to help end this festival, I think, is this particular town where they do it has the second highest, and China in general, has the second highest incidence of rabies in humans because they're dealing with dogs in this way, the slaughter and the unvaccinated dogs in such vast numbers. So so hopefully this will be over very, very soon. But check it out. Check it out if you want to take action. And now we're going to talk about something much nicer. We're going to talk to Jason about Piper. Piper's not a bird. Piper's not a dog. Well, maybe Piper is a dog. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's good. I'd love to know what Piper is, though. What's Piper?
Yes. Yes. It is not an animal, but it is used to watch pets and animals and friends and family. And hopefully, unhopefully, you get someone you can get a burglar out of your house. Piper's really an all-in-one home security system for the rest of the folks here, like us, that want to protect their home, want to stay in touch with their pets and family members, but aren't really interested in paying monthly fees like you're used to with the home security system. So it's a do-it-yourself camera that you put on your Wi-Fi network and has an Android or Apple phone app that lets you talk to your pet. You could actually talk two-way. You can hear your dog or your kitty cat and talk to them as well as see them live on video.
Wow. Okay, so I catch my cat doing something I don't like scratching the furniture, and I can say, off, kitty, off, and make them think I'm psychic and
yeah,
ever-present.
Exactly. Yep,
or the dog going in the garbage. or the kids feeding the dog things they shouldn't feed, right? You see everything.
Yeah.
Is it on all the time?
Yeah, you know, it's on all the time. You can check in on a live feed. We don't record all the time. What you do is you can set it up. I mentioned the security systems. You can tell it you're not going to be home, and you can set it up to say if you detect motion, if you detect a very loud sound, then take a video clip. And also we have a 105 decibel siren on it, which is really, really loud and will scare away most anyone that's trying to get in your home. Now, because most of the customers we have pets, we have a pet immune feature on the motion so that your siren and your security system's not going off if it's just your dog running across the room or your cat climbing up a staircase or something like that. But if a human comes into the picture, it will scare them off.
I just thought of a really cheesy joke. I hope you're ready for this.
What if
what if it's a cat burglar? Oh, no, groan. No, but the thing about it is, how could you possibly have a motion sensor that doesn't go off with dogs and cats? I thought if you had a dog, you had to disable the motion sensor on your house alarm.
Yeah, no, the technology we use is passive infrared. So it's actually looking at like a heat signature, if you will. So it depends on the pounds, of the animal, but generally anything under about 80 pounds in an animal, the heat signature is different than a human, and we can tell the difference.
You know what? Dogs run hotter than humans. So that would be another way to do it, to set it to the degrees. I could just imagine all these burglars trying to look like Great Danes and crawl into homes because then they won't get detected. But, I mean, even that is going to look suspicious to your neighbors. I've had to crawl in my doggy door when I've locked myself out before, and that's not good. I've often thought I'm glad no one could see me in this moment, Okay, so what's the funniest thing you've ever caught your pet doing with Piper? Because you must see some pretty odd behavior when you're out there.
Yeah, we have two doggies. We have a Morkie and I don't even know what the name of this, my other pet is. It's a Chihuahua Maltese mix, so whatever that name is. And this is not
Morkie?
Really funny.
What's a Morkie?
A Morkie's a Maltese Yorkie. So they're both kind of Maltese, lineage there, but neither of them pure. And so they share, one's a boy, one's a girl, and they're very nice and kind to each other, but they are not nice and kind to each other's beds for some reason. And so we had thought they were destroying their own beds. We'd buy them these nice cushy beds to sleep in, and we'd wake up in the morning when we were back, and we see filling everywhere. Well, what we caught them on the cameras doing is tearing each other's beds up.
Ooh, brutal. That's rivalry. Why. Are they the same gender? They must be. They must be the same gender.
No, they're separate. They're actually one's a boy, one's a girl.
Really? And they do this? Why don't they like each other more? Why are they so envious?
They're each other's things, apparently, because they're very nice. They don't fight. You know, they're not hippie at each other. I don't know. They're jealous. Maybe I need to buy opposite beds, and I'm giving the wrong thing to the wrong puppy, I guess.
No, I don't think so. This is a head game. This is beyond stuff. This is, you know, I will damage your back. It's interesting, though. I'm almost wondering if it's not damage as scenting. If each one is trying to put his scent in the other, if it's actually
maybe
how much they like each other. You know,
I want
to smell. And, you know, the place they choose to roll and scratch and tumble around and do all these weird nesting behaviors is the place that smells the best to them, which is their buddy's little bed. I think.
Makes sense. Yeah,
I don't think
sense.
It's a bad thing necessarily, except is there destruction?
No, not just, well, just, you know, they've been able to tear the bed, the cushion, and get the stuffing out. So they have been able to do that.
Well, you know, you could replace it with old sleeping bags inside the liner, like put them in pillowcases or in Ziploc bag, you know, buy a doggy bed and take the foamy thing they're having so much pleasure destroying out and instead replace it with a sleeping bag or two.
Even an
old one of yours, get yourself a new one, give them the old one. They're completely machine washable and they're harder to rip apart. But I'm just, I know we're distracting from your product because I'm so interested in your dog problem. But I'll remind everyone listening, if you do have a dog behavior problem, cat behavior problem, you can always call the show 1-888-627-6008. And you can always listen to the show. The show stream live 24/7. You call 712-832-2636. Or just go to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and you can find us. You can also search W Pet Talk Radio, wpettalkradio.com, and stream it that way. But you'll hear me talking with experts and guests and talking with people with dog problems and cat problems and sometimes other pet problems too. Sometimes the dog won't tolerate the cat. So so Piper, it's set so the cats won't set it off either. And I think that's really relevant because a lot of people with dogs feel their house is protected, but the people with the cats, they're just in trouble, aren't they? No cat's gonna really do much against a burglar, so
it's not gonna scare them off too quickly. No.
Although there are some cats who've tried, and I once knew a Sheltie who defended a home from a burglar, but it was a service trained Sheltie. Yeah, it was trained to help a guy with Parkinson's, and when they broke in, it went up the stairs, backed up the stairs, so it could get tall enough, and then lunged at the guy on his throat and chased the two guys out. And this was a debarked Sheltie in a condo complex in California.
Wow.
Those guys didn't know what hit them in the senior complex. It's like, yeah, you get them, little dog. But she was fine. They were arrested. The guy was proud. He kept telling the story when he moved here and introduced me to his little dog. Tinka was her name. No tinkering with Tinka. So find Piper. How can people find Piper?
Yeah, sure. So you can go to getpiper.com. We're also on sale on Amazon and in Target stores nationwide in the electronics department.
So find out what your pets are doing when you're not there and maybe keep your house safe too. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, everyone, we've run out of time on this segment. We'll be back in a second talking a little more. And we've got a big show. Lots and lots of guests. You just don't know what's coming up next. Stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. And today we've got Gerard Lariat. Welcome to the show, Gerard.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb. It was great to be on.
Well, something smells beautiful. I'm visualizing being in the same room with you. What kind of delicious smells have you got?
Too many in one room here, so.
Oh, really? Well, we're talking to Gerard about aromatherapy. Veterinarian recommended aromatherapy, so that's why I'm asking him that question. But what kind of smells do dogs like? I mean, it kind of makes me wonder, is it rotten meat? Is it garbage? I mean, is it poo? Because, you know, dogs can be pretty doggy in their tastes. And
what
do you, hopefully you've come up with something humans don't hate, right?
Right. Well, it definitely has to be a compromise for the owner as well as the pet. So okay. I really looked at what are the aromatherapy benefits of all of these essential oils out there, and then work backwards into what scents that the pet and the parent would enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you come up with?
Well,
cedar, maybe? Like evergreen smells? That would work, maybe?
We have a few. The top seller is actually de-stressed lavender and chamomile. So it's just a very soothing, natural scent. And everybody loves that, and it's good for male dogs as well as female dogs. And a relaxing cedarwood and vanilla is also really popular. It's a little bit heavier scent and same effect, very relaxing. My dog actually was afraid of thunderstorms, and I used to burn aromatherapy candles and realized that the cedarwood and vanilla just, like, knocked him out during a thunderstorm and just really made him feel really comfortable, and I was like, that's a great idea. Let's try a couple of different scents to see what happens, and that's kind of how we got started.
It does make sense. I mean, I know some people will be skeptical. They'll think aromatherapy for dogs, give me a break. But the thing is, dogs are so about the nose. That's their big deal.
Exactly.
And they smell things
we
don't, too.
Yes, our dogs smell 100,000 times better than we do. So just imagine the effect of the aromatherapy. It's almost, I mean, unbelievable. And we actually have so many reviews out there, and you can just see how people are having such a great experience with the product.
So you have shampoos, sprays, and candles, and it says five different scents. You've told me two
exactly.
Right now. What are the other three?
Yeah, we also have rose, which is mind and body balancing. We have jasmine, which has a very uplifting effect. And then we also have grapefruit and mint, which is energizing. And most people don't need more energy in their dogs, but some people just really like the scent.
Do you know what? The elderly dogs, it might work. I remember buying bath stuff for my babies, especially my son when he was really little. And everything had to be lavender because I was hoping so much he'd sleep through the night, which, didn't work. Maybe I needed one of your candles. Is it safe for kids and humans to be around this stuff?
Absolutely. Obviously, you want to keep the candles away from the reach of children and pets, but the products are 100% biodegradable. My mom uses the sprays in her own hair, and the shampoo is a shower gel. So obviously, we try all the products on ourselves before we roll them out and do a lot of
Wait a minute, Gerard. You make your mother use dog shampoo? Oh, my goodness. Now, that's got to get her points at the bridge tournament when she's complaining. No. Get what my son makes me do. What? Oh, come on.
I use it, too. It has to be human safe and human tested first.
Your mother is a humid tester for dogs. Oh, my goodness. See, that's what's in store for me when my kids grow up. They're going to want me to test dog products. Oh, exactly. My goodness. Well, how does her hair look, your mother? Is it
wonderful.
Beautiful?
Wonderful. She goes with the Vera Natural look. So, I mean, it's perfect. You know, she has curly hair. And so she really enjoys the product and smell.
So, like a poodle? I mean, come on. Be nice to your mother. Oh,
well, my
God.
Son is a poodle,
I guess we're all animals. We all have hair. I get it. But still, I mean, what do you do? Take it out of the packaging and put it into something with a lady on the front so she won't know?
No. Well, you know. Yeah, funny,
happy Mother's Day. Here's some products I got for you. No.
Well, not quite, but our products have actually been called the Chanel Pet Care, so it's a very sophisticated package. I actually worked at L'Oreal. I've been in the cosmetics industry for over 10 years, so that's kind of my approach is ultimately that's buying the product. So they want to be able to enjoy this product as well. It's a shared spa experience.
You know, I wish my hair was as strong as dog hair. I wish it grew as fast. Right? I mean, dogs do have beautiful hair. Look at the Golden Retriever or the Irish Setter.
Yeah.
They have some really nice-looking hair. Yeah. So I'm just mostly joking around with you. But you've got shampoos, sprays, and candles. And I see the pick-me-up makes sense because lavender puts you to sleep. And which was the one you said for the pick-me-up? I think antiseptic one you said. I can't remember.
Energizing grapefruit and mint. So citrus and spearmint is very energizing for the body. If you're having a hard time, you know, getting yourself going in the morning, sometimes that candle is great.
And what was the other, you named another herb, I think, another plant. Lavender,
cedarwood, and vanilla.
Jasmine. It was jasmine. What does jasmine do?
Jasmine is very, very uplifting. It's not the same effect as energizing. It's kind of an antidepressant. So it's naturally being used for that purpose for thousands of years.
So this is going to make everybody who visits your home calmer and more even with their energy, more happy energy, less negative energy. It sounds good. It sounds like it'll work.
Yeah, it's terrific. And, you know, most people start out just trying, like, one product. And, you know, we have all these reviews where people are like, I don't know. They try one product and then they come back for another or they buy even a gift set. So that those are really popular, too. We put two or three items together into a set box, and it's great for gifting, and we give you a small discount for getting everything together.
Well, we're running out of time, so can you tell people how to get it, please?
Yes, absolutely. We're available online at puppyprimp.com, puppyprimp.com, or amazon.com.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Gerard, and putting up with my teasing. I've been off the air for a couple years, so I'm having too much fun here at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, my first week back. So thank you. And I, you know, I'd love to see a picture of your mother. I would.
Oh, yes.
With her hair.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. It was really a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, have a great day. I hope we send some of our listeners there, and maybe some of our dogs who are afraid of thunderstorms will lose their fear when they smell calm in the air. And it's true. I mean, thunder has a particular smell. Lightning has a smell. So this totally makes sense. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you
know I really do.
I really do.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're listening. listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deborah Wolf. You can find more of me at deborahwolfonline.com. And I do have new puppy pictures. 7 puppies born May 22nd, so they're beautiful. And one might get sold by Skype today, and then a whole bunch July 3rd. They won't go anywhere, though. I'll still be taking pictures and movies of them while they sit here waiting for them to be old enough to go to their new home. So check them out at deborahwolfonline.com. So right now, we have Jonathan coming to us. We're talking about Ruffet USA, Ruffet USA. And it's not about the big, tough dogs. You might think it is, Ruffet USA. No, it's got a little surprise for us. Little dogs can be tough too, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you got a little dog, Jonathan?
Yeah, actually, I have a miniature schnauzer named Mojo, and he is the inspiration behind the Ruffet dog carrier I found at ruffetusa.com.
So did you try taking him places and there's just nothing would fit? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, yeah, I actually, a couple years ago, we had a little incident while we were riding our bike, and I had to take him to the vet, and I realized that there was no real backpack that allowed you to ride your bike and carry a small dog. So I developed one, and it's we have 7 different sizes. Anything under 30 pounds actually allows you to wear your dog on your back like a backpack. And each paw, there's one paw on each shoulder, and they can actually see over your shoulder facing forward. So it's perfect. It's ideal. It frees up your hands. And, yeah, it's gone very well so far.
Oh, gosh. Tell me where you've taken this dog. Like, have you climbed a mountain? Have you hiked a river valley? Like, what have you done with this dog?
Well, I take him, you know, we've gone fishing, we go mountain biking, you know, every once in a while I'll take him out on the motorcycle. We were in Colorado, up in Breckenridge skiing a couple of weeks ago. Jace came back from New York, cruising the subway system and letting everybody know about this new revolutionary dog backpack.
Interesting. It's really, yeah, I take big dogs normally, and when I go on off trail, and I'm almost always with big dogs, but part of the rationale mm-hmm. is on many of the trails I hike, there are areas where you have to climb up a ladder, and I don't want to carry anybody. So I have to have dogs big enough to jump, right? But if I had something mm-hmm. like that, maybe I could stick the dog in the backpack. That sounds like it would work.
Yeah.
On the subway, though, oh my goodness, you're mm-hmm. getting your dog out of everybody's face, off the seat, off the floor, away from their feet. Little dogs, man, they get stepped on a lot, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they do. It solves many issues. First off, you know, having to use a leash is very inconvenient. This frees up your hands, and you're right. Small dogs get stepped on. A lot of people don't see them, so they can get lost in small crowds if you lose the leash or if you drop the leash somehow. And not just that, the biggest thing that it solves is the stamina and age. If they're old dogs, they need to be carried. They can't keep up. And if they're small dogs, they just have no stamina. So. Yeah, I mean, I'll
or puppies as well, or when something goes wrong. You know, your dog that has a little minor health injury or a problem he's recovering from,
exactly.
This would work too. Because sometimes that can be a real burden, and sometimes people make decisions based on that. You know, their dog, mm-hmm. they find out they're going to have to carry the dog around for 6 months, and it just seems mm-hmm. cruel and unkind, and they don't want to lift him that way, or they don't know how they're going to manage if they don't have a car, all this sort of stuff, and now they don't have to think about that. They can get this backpack till the dog's better. So mm-hmm. ruffetusa.com. If we go to ruffetusa.com, will we see your dog modeling?
Yeah, you're gonna see videos of us actually, skiing out in Colorado. You'll see videos of us in New York. I mean, Mojo is. I mean, I've had him for 13 years, and one of the reasons I invented it was because I want to take him places. You know, I love him. I love taking him with me, especially in his older years. You know, so it's the perfect solution. We have 7 sizes, and it literally fits like a glove. They sit down, and they're in a sitting position on your back, facing forward. So, and you can actually wear them on your chest as well.
Okay, so you've skied, you've been on skis going down a mountain in Colorado with this dog on your back.
Correct. You can see that video on
YouTube channel. Does he like it? Is he like nose to the wind looking at this? Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, it's,
does he get excited
when
you take out your skis? Does he start turning circles and stuff?
You know, if he sees me take the Ruffet dog carrier, you know, because I have it hanging next to my door, if I ever take it down, he gets just as excited as if I get the leash. What I like about the Ruffet is that you can actually you know, even do motorized activities. You know, we have some pictures on our website of people, you know, on the back, on horses with their dog on their back. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible because they get to experience and see what you're seeing. They're no longer at like,
you know, the
level.
Horse
They're
knows,
up on
right?
Your shoulders.
You know, the horse knows, right? Like, you know that that horse knows that you have a dog on top. He knows. He can smell it.
Yeah.
You know, he knows. Yeah, he knows there's a dog on top. He's probably so curious. Like, what is this going on? Oh, yeah, for sure. Horses are very aware, and they know what's on their back, for sure. Okay, so I would like to see this. RUFFITUSA.com, RuffitUSA.com, if you want to see this little dog having his adventures. Have you ever been out having an adventure with him and run into someone that is also with a dog in one of these things?
Here in Dallas, Texas, where we're based out of now, I see that quite often. In New York, I saw it a couple of times. But it's incredible. We've been around for a little over a year now, and we've built a pretty good following, and people have recognized me. Hey, I saw you on TV. Hey, I saw you here. Hey, how's Mojo? And it's just incredible that the animal pet community is a lot smaller than one would think, you know?
With Facebook especially, and the subway was genius, you know, and there's lots of cities with transit like that where you get on and you're going to get everybody's attention. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of people, or I've heard quite a few people complain about not being able to travel with cats on transit because they just don't, you know, the carriers that are made are not comfortable for the animal. It's for vet emergency only. They really don't want to be dragging that around. And this just, especially if you add a bike to the mix, right? If you're getting by with bike and transit, this makes so much sense.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Everything from, you know, knee injuries that the pet has had, or a bad back, or, you know, when your dog is really, really up there in age, you know, it just has, it solves a very important need, and that's to be able to take your best friend with you. You know, it really helps you unleash your friendship.
Well, and I think you look at the dog or cat, if it's 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, you think, oh, I won't need that. I can lift him. Yeah, you can lift him from the car to the house, from the basement to the living room, but to the bed, to the downstairs. But do you really want to lift him for 4 hours? No. So you start parking him and going without him. And that's what you're trying to prevent. You don't have to park your pet sticking in a backpack. Yeah, I would suggest you keep your food supplies in the same pack, though. That might be a little complicated.
No, the only thing that we ask people is not to do is anything water-related, because, you know, it does pose a danger that the dog can drown. But other than that, all activities are open. You know, there's a multiple restraint system, so the dog's not going to come wiggling out. We're always available. If you don't know how to size your dog or if you need advice, just call the number on the website. There's always people answering. So, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on All Paws Pet Talk, Jonathan. And everybody check out RuffitUSA.com, RUFFITUSA.com. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, well, I'm going to check it out later. All right, everybody. So next we're going to be talking about Merlin's kids and some other things with Janice Wolf. I like her surname. Well, yeah, of course I do. Deborah Wolf talking with Janice Wolf. Don't get confused, though. I'm sure she has a different accent. I'm sure we'll be fine. We'll be talking in a minute about Merlin's kids. So stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that,
you know,
I really do,
I really do.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and we're talking with Janice Wolf, not my relation, although probably by the end of this I'll wish she was. So we're talking to her from a farm in Missouri where she just got back and she's got a 105-pound ridgeback, and the grass was taller than the ridgeback, believe that. Wow, nice dog. Most of them are around 90 pounds, 80 pounds maybe, you know, that's a big, big, big red dog. So let's talk with Janice because she's doing a lot of work. Good work with dogs, merlinskids.org, lots of things we need to talk about. Welcome to the show, Janice.
Thank you, Deb. It's nice to meet you, and hopefully we are related somewhere in some distant galaxy.
Maybe. Well, you know, maybe we'll meet someday in heaven when the dogs throw their big party each year for all the people that they love, you know, at the Rainbow Bridge, something like that.
Hopefully
but
before
for now,
then,
yeah, hopefully sooner. But for now, how, oh man, I've got so many questions for you. Well, first of all, the ridgeback. A lot of people think they have a ridgeback, but their dog has no ridge. What's the deal with the ridge and the ridgeback?
Well, it's a great question because I've been a breeder of Grand Champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks and even have a Westminster winner and AKC Yukonuba Championships and all that. Now, Ridgebacks can be purebred and still not have a ridge. That is something
really?
That is actually genetically linked. I have never had a dog with a short ridge, a bad ridge, or no ridge in 30 years, but there are certain lines of Ridgebacks that can be an absolute 100% pure Rhodesian Ridgeback. But it just is born without a ridge. But
wow, I thought it was a dominant trait. I thought that couldn't happen.
Oh, it can happen. It can happen. Yeah. There are a lot of different things, the way DNA combines. It's just an amazing thing. But, yeah, there are definitely ridgeless ridgebacks. I've never had one. I've never given birth to one because I stay away from anybody who's got that in their line. But it's so cool, and the hair does really grow backward.
Yes, and it looks like most dogs look when they're really freaked out in alert and their hair goes up on the ruff of their neck all between where the collar is and halfway down the back. There's this stretch of 2 inches or so where the hair just stands on end, but there's nothing bugging the ridgeback. It just stands on end like that all the time, right?
Well, it's actually not on end. It's backward. Actually grows backward. It's actually an anomaly of development when the dog is developing, when it's only a blastocyst, when it's only maybe a few billion cells, and it actually turns back on itself. Now, the hackles are something behavioral, but the ridgeback, it's like that all the time. But it's great because when there's somebody who you kind of think is shady, sometimes they look at the dog, especially if it's a scary-looking guy, and they say, "Oh, is your dog not like me? Oh, I've never seen that happen a Wyatt's back before. He must really like you. You better leave now."
That's funny. Yeah, he really is on alert. I don't know. Well, do they get misunderstood by other dogs as being,
you know, wonderful question? Yes.
I would think so, actually.
Yeah, the same way as bulldogs and the brachiocephalic dogs with the flat faces.
Yes, the snuffle snorting.
I think dogs look at them and go, "Oh my God, that must have been a terrible accident you were in." But
Well, and the noise, though, the spitting and the noise and everything, I think it gets not well received a lot of times.
Well, listen, who likes to sleep with somebody who snores?
Or the close talker who spits all over you. That's what boxers are like. I mean, they slobber over everyone they meet, including other dogs. So,
right.
Yeah, it's not exactly a social trait most dogs like. But, okay, so we'll get away from ridgebacks. I just have one more question for you. I breed standard poodles, and I'm familiar with lots of breeds, but it seems to me the standard of size with ridgebacks is really huge. I've seen 60-pounders and ones like yours. Almost as tall as a Great Dane. They really, like, a couple inches shorter than a Great Dane. And then I've seen some that are almost the size of labs. Why is the standard so big like that?
Well, it's actually not. I do keep my dogs within standard. Wyatt is only about maybe an inch or an inch and a half over the top standard, but he has such heavy bone, and he's just got a very deep, capacious chest. So if you look at him, you wouldn't think he weighs that. It's kind of like looking at two people. Mm. One is kind of heavy set, and maybe, you know, kind of rounded, and the other person is lean and trim, and they weigh the same because muscle yeah. weighs more than fat. And also they have that really slick coat. So, you know, you don't see, like, basically if a dog gets a cut, you see that cut for the rest of the life of the dog, where a hairier, more fluffy dog might have, you know, it might not look like it weighs as much, or it might look bigger because, like, a Pomeranian is all hair. But, yeah. As
you know, when you talk about that the cut for the rest of its life, I find Weimaraners, they shred like paper. Their skin is like tissue paper. They bump into a tree, and you got to, you know, it's first aid time. So I'm hoping, I don't think Ridgebacks... I've had a
no.
few here at Tamp Good
no,
Dog.
They
I think
actually
their coat's more sturdy. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's a good
It's
coat.
Very short. The great thing is that fleas and ticks don't really like them very much, especially ticks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but Wyatt is, you know, even though he's 100 and, almost 105 pounds, he's very much within standard. He was number two in the country. He's grand champion.
Ooh,
he
won the nice.
Yada, yada,
okay,
yada.
So
really
all the people who don't...
people keeping it in standard or close to standard, that's important.
So, Janice, I've just been cued. We only have 3 minutes, and I'm hoping that's not till the end of the show. I'm hoping that's just till a commercial break. But in case, we better start talking about Merlin's kids and your farm, your ranch. So which would you like to talk about first? Just go for it.
Well, Merlin's kids, it's merlinskids.org, and we have the greatest 800 number ever, 855. Hi, Wyatt. Really, it's 855. Hi, Wyatt. what we do is we take rescue and shelter dogs. I've been doing this since 1980-something. I don't want to admit how long, but since 1988, I've been taking dogs from shelters and rescues, rehabilitating those dogs, and then training them to become service dogs for children with autism and special needs, anything, all free of charge to the families. And unfortunately, it's so expensive to do it, so now we have literally hundreds of people a year instead of 50 or 60 a year. So it's obviously becoming an economic issue because we can't keep providing free dogs when we don't get donations in. So what we do is we go into a shelter or a rescue, and I have about 200 people in my company, United Canine Professionals, which is a canine behavior company where if people, you know, have a problem with their dog and they have a behavioral issue, they call United Canine Professionals. And we train our handlers through the sister company, United Canine Professionals. So if somebody wants to, let's say, train service dogs and or become a part of Merlin's Kids, you have to first become a canine behaviorist and understand what you're going to be doing and all the different developmental phases and all that. Then Merlin's Kids trains the dogs. So we can train a dog that can be cancer and disease detection, like Wyatt and Savannah and a bunch of my guys can do. We can train a dog to detect cortisol levels to see when somebody's going to have a meltdown before they do, especially in a school that has special needs children. We can train a dog for seizures. We can train a dog for blood sugar, either hypoglycemia or diabetes. So it's really pretty cool. And we do that
oh,
all
that's
off
super
of donation.
Cool. I mean, I've heard of dogs, like there was a Schnauzer on Vancouver Island that just did this. The little girl went into a diabetic coma one night, and the dog was all alarmed. And the next time her sugar levels dropped low, he just alerted the whole family, untrained. But that's not normal. Most of the time, the dogs need training, don't they?
Well, most of the time they do, but you can't take... It's like taking a 6-foot-8-inch guy and trying to make him into a gymnast or a ballerina. You have to go with what the dog's natural propensity and talents are. So
right.
that's where I think people get very breed-specific and say, oh, I'm going to get a lab or I'm going to get a golden, and I'm going to train it to do A, B, or C, when that dog might not be the right temperament or have that talent.
Yes, and so the kinds of dogs you look for this, I guess they're hardworking and very bonded to people? Are those two
traits?
Well,
yeah, the bonding to people is super important, and a dog who's confident without being dominant, definitely don't want a dog who's fearful. Although a lot of that, you know, I can rehabilitate out of them. I've fixed over 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues, so I'm pretty good at getting rid of whatever that is. But I always assume that the dog is going to potentially return back to what it was. So we don't want to take a dog that doesn't have a stable temperament to start with.
Right, right. And it's putting a lot of time and money into a dog. So you have to pick the right candidates in the first place. But I try to tell people when they've got a breed mismatch, you know, it's like trying... I can teach your golden retriever to swim, but I sure don't have to, you know, like, and getting
you
it to
teach a Ridgeback to swim, that I'll be impressed with.
but teaching the golden retriever to come out of water is the trick. You can get him to come every other time. Try and get him to come when he's swimming, you know. And that's kind of, like, certain dogs are set up for certain things, and we all know that. How can people help Merlin's Kids? Because we've got 3 minutes left, so I want to make sure. Merlinskids.org, how can they help you?
Well, donations, fostering, and if you do want to foster for us, we have a very intensive 24-week program, plus hands-on, so that you don't mess up one of our dogs, because that's one of the biggest issues with a number of the guide dog organizations. Their puppy raisers, the fosters, don't have any training. And, of course, it's like if let's say you're walking and something falls behind you and the dog scoots out of the way and you pat that dog and say, oh, it's okay, Fluffy, it's okay. You've actually just reinforced that exact fear. You didn't want to have. So I train the people. And for Merlin's Kids, like I said, donations are always great. Veterinarians who are willing to do veterinary work, pro bono, anything pro bono is always handy.
And you're in New Jersey and Missouri? Are those your two locations?
We are in New Jersey, Texas, Missouri, and then we also have a facility in Upper New York State. And I have people for United Canine Professionals, which is the ones that train the humans. And we have, if anybody wanted to add to it and help us and be a foster, become a canine behaviorist, we're always happy to train people. It is a pretty lengthy process, but it's well worth it. And that, you know, gives us more locations. So we are actually in 10 different countries and 38 states.
Oh, wow.
States in the
okay.
US.
So you know what, everybody? We're running out of time, Janice. So I'm just going to tell them, go to merlinskids.org. And that's where you can find out how to hook up in your city, your town, your country, how to participate if you would like to help with dogs and autistic kids and retraining dogs and rehoming them to work in such a nice way. So thank you very much for joining us today, Janice. I'm afraid we're all out of time. Would you come back another week?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd love to talk more about this. How you deprogram dogs, how you get them to trust again, what kind of people you look for. We had lots of questions. So everyone, we'll have Janice back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And enjoy being home, Janice, with your Ridge Rack.
Thank you. Have a great day, Deborah.
Okay, thank you. Well, everybody, it's been a whirlwind show. It went so fast. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio always does. I was going to tell you a little more about dogs in China and hopeful things and rats and a seeing eye dog who put itself in front of a bus to protect its owner and is fine. I was going to tell you about all that, but I guess I'll save some of it for next week when we come back. Until then, be good to your animals. For me, Deb Wolf, DeborahWolfOnline.com is where you find me, and Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.